Chapter 1, 1:58 p.m. When my father got struck by lightning, so did I, Chase thought. When my mom and Monica died, so did I, a little. I guess you can't separate your fate from those you are with, Chase said quietly. What? His father asked. Chase jumped. He hadn't meant to say that last part out loud. Nothing, just thinking about a song. You want the radio on? No, I'm fine. Chase and his father were in Florida, speeding down a road along the Gulf of Mexico. Chase's father had one hand on the steering wheel of their 4x4 truck. In his other, he held a travel mug of black coffee. Chase's job was to replenish the mug from the thermos at his feet, which he had filled 4 hours earlier in the weather-battered fifth-wheel trailer they were pulling. His father called the fifth wheel the shack. It was where they lived. It was nicer on the inside than the outside. The rough exterior was the result of a hailstorm in Oklahoma 2 weeks ago. Chase had been inside the shack when it hit. The worst part had been the sound. His ears had rung for 24 hours after the 10-minute pounding. When he'd opened the door, the ground had been covered in golf ball-size ice pellets for as far as he could see. A mile away, a farmer had been killed running from his John Deere combine to his house. He should have stayed inside the combine. "What time is it?" his father asked. His father did not wear a watch. The perfectly running clock on the dash had been covered with black electrical tape. At the top of almost every hour, when they were together, he would ask Chase, "Who wore a radio-controlled atomic time watch?" That same question. 2 o'clock, Chase said. "Exactly. Perfect." The internal clock game. This was just one of the games his father played during their frequent long drives. Another game was how to get out of Doom City. This consisted of his father picking a random street in a random city and a disaster like a flood. The goal was for Chase to quickly find high ground, then plot a route that would get him out of town before the disaster caught up with him. Chase wondered if Tomas played driving games. He doubted it. Tomas was behind them, driving the shop, a 40-foot trailer pulled by a Mack semi-tractor, by himself. Tomas's living quarters were in the front part of the trailer, with a separate entrance. The rest was filled with 2 dirt bikes, an all-terrain quad, and enough tools and supplies to build a 3-story home. Behind the shop, Tomas was pulling a second 4x4 truck. Signs on the sides of all the rigs read, "MD Emergency Services," followed by a 1-800 number. Obviously, the MD didn't stand for medical doctor. But sometimes the authorities thought it did, and Chase's father didn't correct them. MD stood for Masters of Disaster. In his father's world, everything had a double meaning. About a week after the lightning strike, the economy was struck by recession. The building industry tanked. Chase's father's and uncle's business was on the verge of bankruptcy. Uncle Bob was on the verge of an emotional collapse. Chase's father wasn't worried at all. He had other plans. He sold everything they owned, including their house and their vacation cabin on Mount Hood. With the proceeds, he bought the shack and the shop, paid off his half of the construction company's debts, then signed the company over to a grateful but stunned Uncle Bob. "What are you going to do, John?" "Start over. See the country." "What about Chase?" "He'll go with me, of course." "What about school?" "He'll go to school." Chase had been to 3 schools in the past year and was heading toward his 4th, provided it wasn't wiped off the face of the earth by Hurricane Emily, who was whirling her way counterclockwise across the Gulf of Mexico. Emily had started out a few weeks earlier as an innocent little thunderstorm in Ethiopia. She moved west over the Sahara Desert, picking up sand and heat, then swept out into the Atlantic, where she became a tropical storm and got her name. As the trade winds pushed her farther west, she gathered humidity and power. At 74 miles an hour, she graduated from a tropical storm to a hurricane, which is more than I'm going to do if we don't settle down in a school for more than 2 months, Chase thought. He had just gotten used to the school in Oklahoma when his father pulled the plug and started them toward Emily. Coincidentally, or maybe not, Emily was his mother's first name. His father still had work when they left Oklahoma. Chase wondered if the hurricane's name had anything to do with their leaving so quickly, but he knew better than to ask. Nothing could shift his father's mood faster than bringing up his mom or his sister. Chase looked over at his father. He used to know him face on. Now he knew him mostly in profile from the passenger seat. About the only time when they were together anymore was in the truck driving to a disaster. When his father and Tomas were working, they slept in hotels, only coming back to the shack and shop to pick up supplies. Chase had thought that being on the road would bring him and his father closer together. In some ways it had, but right now, sitting 3 feet apart, they might as well have been in different solar systems. Chase's relationship with Tomas was not much better, but theirs was a language problem. Tomas's English wasn't good, and Chase's Spanish was non-existent. Chase wasn't sure how Tomas and his father communicated so well. A combination of Spanglish and telepathy, he guessed. Tomas had worked for Chase's father for more than 20 years. When his father told Uncle Bob that he was taking Tomas with him, Uncle Bob almost wept. "I'll have to hire 3 new guys to replace him," Uncle Bob had said. 4, his father had replied. More like 5, in Chase's opinion. Tomas was at least 10 years older than his father, but he was a building machine. Tomas never walked between tasks. He jogged like everything was an emergency. A few years before they hit the road, Uncle Bob had jokingly said that he would give Tomas a 5 grand cash bonus if he could frame a 2-story house that passed building inspection in 24 hours. Tomas did it in 22. The building inspector said it was the best framing job he'd ever seen. Uncle Bob handed over the cash. Tomas was married and had 8 kids, but Chase had never met his wife or the rest of his family. Neither had his father. They lived someplace in Mexico. Tomas visited them once a year around Christmas, and Chase assumed he sent most of his money down south to them. In his truck, he kept laminated photos of all of the kids arranged by age. On top of his dash was a plastic statue of St. Christopher, patron saint of travelers. St. Christopher was also invoked against lightning. Tomas had given his father a St. Christopher's medal when he was in the hospital. So far, it had worked. On most Sundays, Tomas put his hammer down for a few hours and went to church. Chase had gone with him a couple of times. He didn't think Tomas understood a word the priest was saying, but that wasn't the point. Chase believed that Tomas went to church for the same reason he had left everything behind to join Chase's father. Tomas was loyal.